I'm rolling, baby. Time to pod.
It's time for another episode.
Lucas is having a bit of a rough time this morning. I think he woke up on the wrong side of bed.
Why do you say that?
Couldn't find the mic stand. I heard you break something. I heard you like stub your toe. Go like, God damn it.
I don't think I broke anything, but I did step on, it was a plug. And so it hurt my foot. It didn't hurt the object, but it did hurt me.
I went to the coffee shop this morning across the street from my house. And I got a cup of coffee, but it's like lukewarm. It was lukewarm when I got it, so now it's like cold.
Yeah.
And I'm drinking it just for the
Joe.
Minimal enjoyment.
Dang. I made a fresh pot in our French press. And it's still warm, and I'm sipping it. It's quite lovely. You look very nice. You're looking very sharp today.
This is my bartender shirt from last night that I put on to bike home.
Nice.
Cold.
I see. Yes.
No, it's good to be alive. I Yeah. How about you? Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I do. I do. I've been feeling positive about the year beginning and grateful that, you know, the roof over my head and work to go do, I guess.
A roof over my head and a gun under my bed.
And a monster under my bed and secrets under my bed and all my money stuffed under my bed.
Under the gun.
Under the gun.
One day I'll be paranoid. I mean, I'm already erratic.
You've always,
one day I'll be deeply paranoid.
You've always had a bit of a propensity for worry. I remember when we were traveling, when we were, what, 19? I guess Ben had probably just turned 20. We drove from Austin all the way to Seattle. We went, you know, by way of Marfa, Tucson, Flagstaff, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Eureka, Portland, Seattle. Am I leaving anything out?
Say it again.
Marfa, Tucson, Flagstaff, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Eureka, Portland.
Flagstaff. Wait, you said Flagstaff to LA, right?
Flagstaff to LA, yeah.
Where'd we stay in LA that time?
With my cousin.
Oh, with Rob Lowe's half-brother.
That's correct, yes.
Fuck, bro.
Blossom and Justin and their little one Jackson, who's now like, I don't know, 13 or something.
That was the weirdest. Fuck, we got there. They were acting so weird. It's because they were stoned. And then we all watched Sun Ra's Space is the Place.
That's right. Oh, yes. That was so good.
That
such
was
an interesting trip.
California experience.
Yes, it really was. And then we went to San Francisco and had a very, I feel like, San Francisco experience with your brother and his tech friends.
Yeah, we were on a boat, right?
We ended up on a boat. Before then, we were at like a Game of Thrones watch party.
Yeah, that was very, very nerdy.
Yeah, and big nerdcore activities. But I remember when we would park the car somewhere, you were always terrified when we would park anywhere, that someone was going to break into the car, steal our things, steal the car. I remember it was like there was this constant sort of high level of anxiety that accompanied having the car and moving away from that. And I don't think we really knew at the time that that was because we were, you know, we weren't perceiving that we were carrying around this, you know, ultra valuable piece of personal property. It was just our way to get around, but that's all it is. Yep.
Just an object thing.
But we made it miraculously.
Car world. Yeah, it was my dad's car.
That's true. So I guess there was that.
So we're so lucky. So lucky, man.
Yeah.
So blessed.
I think we were lucky that we didn't get mugged when we were in Eureka. Do you remember that walk that we took?
Yeah, we almost got hate crimed.
Yeah.
Just for being a couple of homo looking fellas. just a couple of normal guys walking down the street humming show tunes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Those were the days.
But no, that was a wonderful trip. And I mean, when we got to Seattle, we were working at a kid's camp for autodidacts, where the gimmick is there are no rules. So Ben and I just sort of tried to wrangle children all day.
There were no rules. That was the whole idea of the camp. Mm-hmm. There are no rules. There are only responsibilities to one another. And that was a stretch.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there were kids, you know, just coming up behind kids and slugging them in the back of the skull. And we had no recourse, really, to shut that kind of behavior down. It was rough. It was rough, but...
What can you do? What can you really do when there's no rule?
Nothing.
Kids need rules.
It's true. That's how we become social creatures.
It's how you become normal.
Yeah.
Like the rest of us.
Yeah. And I can understand.
Hey, I made a map.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Of every time someone in Texas got hit by a car.
Okay.
Even the ones that are non-fatal.
Is it hosted online, or can you share it with me?
Yeah, if you go to roadway.report/Texas, you're going to like this one. It's not funny, right? But as it is with this data set, it's like it's so staggering that it.
Oh, each color set. It's. I imagine that they're sorted by date, but each color.
Yellow is like not injured, but still hit.
Oh,
by
I see.
A car.
I see. I see.
And then everything else is like ranging from minor injury to fatality.
And the rivers ran with blood. Dallas Fort Worth is. Really, really scary. Does it have the same functionality?
Yeah.
Wow. I can click on them and learn a little bit more.
So do remember that, like, remember the airplane fallacy. So it's like the hot spots, these downtowns are like the place where it's safe enough to walk to begin with.
Right.
So there's some... It's not like this is scaled for density of travel or population density. The next step in this is to start doing like a socioeconomic and population analysis, which I hope to do sometime this week. At least try to get the groundwork done.
Just based on the geography of the incident.
Well, yeah, I have the census data, so.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's, I think, a brilliant place to start. I mean, Austin is, I think what we were talking about, I think it was last week with the Austin map and the airplane fallacy. I feel like Austin really reveals that with this map, with the injuries added.
People are getting clocked downtown. I mean, you could argue that downtown's not safe at all. You could argue that it is actually really bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then I think the other point that I was making during that conversation is that otherwise, there are just barriers. There are places, to your point, where it is safe enough to walk around, or the built environment is such that people are walking and biking around. And then other than that, people are walking and biking around the rest of the city, and the danger spots are the large, wide strodes that act as barriers. These like arteries stretching out from the city, not even just on the freeway. Like, Lamar is a terrible road to try to cross.
Yeah, Lamar and Congress. Look at fucking Congress, man. It's dangerous the whole way. The whole way.
Fourth Street looks really bad for...
But it's true that it's like, if this map had car crashes on it, I-35 would be lit up blood red, right? But it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, there's some inversion of... what the color means to, like, its danger rating, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But Congress is a conflict point. Lamar is a conflict point. Downtown is a conflict point. Guadalupe is a conflict point. And then arterials are all over the city.
It's amazing how even the distribution is downtown, with most of the markers being at the intersection. Is that just a mapping, convention, or do you feel fairly confident that if a dot is at
No, it could be a data collection issue. So I mean, if you zoom in, you'll see there are mid block. So I think it could be a number of things. I do think a lot of collisions occur at the intersection. I think it's something like half. Especially like bicycle and pedestrian collisions. And then I think that sometimes with the data collection, it could be that like the cop is filling out the police report and he puts in 6th and Brazos, and then the computer geolocates the point, and then he puts the point in as the latitude and longitude of the event. Think of it that way.
Sure.
It's like if you're using a web app or an app to set the location of the event, you're probably just going to say, well, it happened at 6th and
Right.
Brazos or whatever.
Yeah. That'll be the easiest way
So
to.
I think that could be part of it.
That's probably why a ton of them, like you click on those ones that are in the exact center of the intersection,
Yeah,
and
and
it
then
has a
there's like eight or
full
nine
list.
crashes
Yeah,
there.
exactly. I mean, it's just like a laundry list. I mean, it's like you're hearing like the bonuses, rack up 4 pedestrian, 3 pedal cyclists, 4 pedestrian, pedestrian, pedestrian.
I know, dude. People are getting fucking clocked out here. It sucks. Look
Motorized
at Houston.
conveyance.
And there's someone's been hit on every street in Houston, Texas. This is what it looks like. It's awful.
Wow.
People are getting pummeled, baby.
That's tough. But in the rich enclaves, many fewer. Even in like the suburban environment.
If you look at the house I grew up in, there's like no crashes at all.
Yeah, I looked there. To be fair, the neighborhood that I lived in when we first moved to Texas, which, as you know, is a less nice neighborhood than the one you lived in. It's the same situation, actually. So that's something. There is pedestrian equity in Round Rock. There's not. Honestly, Round Rock is not looking too bad on this map. I would have expected it to look
No.
worse.
Well, Round Rock doesn't have a lot of pedestrians, right? The
Just nobody's walking, yeah.
it's the old 1-2. It's you have to have a how do I put this? If rich neighborhoods don't have as many pedestrian collisions because they don't have any pedestrians at all. Everyone will just drive, right? But when you have people who still need to access things and can't drive, paired with dangerous infrastructure, that's where you start to see a lot of collisions.
Right.
Lamar is like a fucking wall. Like
Yeah.
Lamar at Runberg and then Runberg itself are like a wall of violence. It's like,
Yeah.
what do these things function as in these neighborhoods but barriers, right? Like
I mean, all the way
giant
down to
man-made barriers.
290. Yeah.
That's
There's not
crazy,
a
man.
good pl- It doesn't look like there's a good place to cross Lamar on the south side. Nor on the north side of town. Like, good luck. You'd have better luck jumping into the lake and swimming. Well, this is awesome, man. Again, listener, roadway.report/Texas for this data. I imagine that the way that the states collect and post this type of data will mean that as you maybe try to tackle doing more locations, the data might be inconsistent.
Yeah, so Texas has world-class data collection, I would argue. I'd say they even outdo like California. But this is like a hard problem. Data modeling traffic violence is like really complicated. They're tracking like hundreds of things. It's notoriously hard to get good data. The cops don't really Yeah, I mean, I'm not blaming cops specifically for bad data collection, for traffic violence, but it's like,
I mean, if you gotta blame someone,
if you were in their shoes, you probably wouldn't give a fuck either about the accuracy of the longest form you've ever seen in your life, and you're like a government worker who has to fill it out 5 times a day. So I don't know. It's a hard problem. Texas has good data, or like more or less good data.
Yeah. Cause I take a look at this and it makes me hungry to see Colorado and, New York. Like, it makes me hungry to see the other data sets.
Right. This proto map technology makes it feasible to have these like huge data sets. It's fucking sick.
Thanks to the good people at Roadway Report.
Thanks to the good people at Felt, and the open source developers of Tippecanoe. Also,
yeah.
GitHub user Hot Garbo gets a shout out because he's the one who wrote this code. He's the one who basically designed the user face that exists for the homepage of Roadway Report.
Yes. Yes, I remember that development happening in tandem.
And then this Texas page is me iterating on that design and trying it with new data. It's awesome.
If you go to Texas A&M University, do not cross the street, okay?
Is that true? Is it that bad?
It's like throughout the campus there's a ton of pedestrians hit by cars like on the campus.
No, yeah, dude, there really are like 50 or 60. That's not true at UT. There's a handful.
There's fewer at UT. I mean, there's a ton on Dean Keaton.
No, I mean, honestly though, yeah.
And the drag,
there are a lot
of course, but
UTs. There's that cyclist that got run over by the bus.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about that. I love the way that the Roadway Report, is this just OpenStreets? The
Open
like
street map.
Base OpenStreet, yeah. I love the way that it shows the religious organizations. If you go to like the southwest corner of the UT campus, you can see where all of the religious centers are, and they're just cute little icons right next to all of the roadway deaths. So you can pray to the God of your choosing for all of the poor souls hit by cars. Right by the "Hi, how are you?" mural.
Yeah, that intersection's really dangerous, it turns out.
Yeah.
I cross there a lot. God, there are a lot of religious institutions. And they are all right there. What's the deal? The mosque, the Hillel Foundation, the Mormons, the Catholics, the Universal Unitarianists.
It definitely has something to do with either the zoning history of the municipality of Austin or the history of the University of Texas, since they really have been just a juggernaut in terms of influencing the development of the city. Probably a mixture of both, you know, religious folks flocking to the large research institution, you know, to connect with people with money that believed in their cause. It would make sense that the university people would want those close to the campus. It would help the campus grow.
I guess strictly speaking, that is next to what was once known as Judges Hill, too.
So where the, that was probably where
the judges used to live near there.
Yeah. Well, and the Capitol is not far away.
Bro, let's go to the chili parlor. Eating chili and being silly.
Eating chili and being silly.
That's my new tagline.
That's a good one. But yeah, I mean, everything you've done with Roadway Report is, I think, super helpful. And if we can start, I agree, doing the analyses based on socioeconomics, etc., I think some interesting things will reveal themselves that might be valuable to help influence people that make the decisions about changes in city infrastructure, because it's very easy to just complain about these things.
I think we'll have some good novel things to publish.
2025.
The year of the rat. The year of the rat.
Year of the rat. I feel like we're really pushing the boundaries of what a podcast can be at this point with our rat noises.
Jazz. It's jazz. Scoop up, bop, bop. Jazz transcends all language, man.
This is true.
Scat transcends all language. Ha! Scoot a bop.
I'm going to go to pedestrian bike other deaths on the main roadway report.
Yeah.
And I want to look at Cedar City. Wow. Cedar City is a town of, I believe it's about 30,000 people. It's in the southwest corner of Utah. It houses Southern Utah University, as well as the Utah Shakespeare Festival. It's a gateway to the mountains to see beauties like Zion National Park, as well as Cedar Breaks, as well as the Bryan Head Ski Resort. It's a really beautiful place. I believe they're building an LDS temple there. It hasn't been a temple town, but I believe it is getting a temple. Very strong LDS influence in the powers that be in the town in Cedar City. But in the last 20 years, it looks like there's only been 4 pedestrian or bike deaths. That's pretty good for a town of 30,000, right?
Are there is this an all-white community, right?
Functionally. I would definitely say that there are people of color. There's a lot of Hispanic people throughout the Southwest. But yeah, it's a very predominantly white community.
The way you described it to me was, at least 90% Mormon, right?
And yeah, when I was coming up,
to me, that screams, blonde hair.
Indeed. Yeah. Indeed.
Yeah, pretty few and far between. Any car deaths?
I bet that it's a ton. I'm just gonna guess.
No, not really.
Not a ton. Definitely
pretty safe.
Definitely more. Especially through the freeway. I-35 or no, I-15. I-15 cuts through Cedar City as sort of the fastest way to get through town.
I panned over to LA on the death map. The way they all load, the way it just turns blood red, mm-hmm. The whole of Los Angeles.
The streets run with blood.
Yes, they do. Man.
Wow.
Austin, Texas. Denver, Colorado. Cedar City, Utah.
Cedar City. I went to a city in the Midwest recently, and it just had this certain Oklahomacity about it. My friends from Oklahoma City will enjoy that joke. They tend to. It's got this certain Kansasity about it. It's got this this certain quality, this Cedar City. Is this anything?
Yeah, it's okay. It's a good bit. Mexicosity.
Mexicosity, yeah. It's got this this incredible Mexicosity with the museums and the food and the multiculturalism.
Oh, goodness gracious. What a long week.
Yeah, been working a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. Yesterday, riddle me this. It's Saturday night. We're up one staff member, so one of us should go home. It's me or the other guy. The other guy's, I'm like, I open tomorrow. Do you open tomorrow? He's like, yeah, I open tomorrow. And I'm like, all right, whatever. You can go home. So he takes the cut. I show up to work the next morning. I'm the first person there. I'm the first white person there, right? Back of house has been there for hours. I'm the first person in the door. I'm setting up. I'm doing my thing. homie is like 3 hours late to work. and then last night I still had to work a double. I'm like, hey, bro, do you want to like stay late because you were 3 hours late? Do you want to switch outs? And he's like, nah, I got something going on later.
3 hours?
I know.
3 hours late. Is it that hard to keep people staffed?
This guy's not even my... No. We just have low standards.
Gotcha. That would be very frustrating for me.
Yeah. Well, he's no Travis. Don't get me started on Travis. I want to introduce Travis as like a part of the podcast lore. Because this guy gets my goat so hard. Oh, my goodness. Every day,
what
is
does
a
he
struggle
drive?
To not bully this person. he takes a longboard to work.
Ah.
And he has a utility belt. And he's always bothering young women who come into the restaurant.
That's tough. What items does he have on his utility belt?
I don't even know what's in there. I think I saw it's like a lighter in there.
Is it like a fanny pack, or is it like truly like individual like pockets on a belt?
Belted
proper utility belt. It's
very weird. He kind of looks like a homeless person.
At least he's not driving a car to work.
That's true. It's true. Pedestrian king.
Longboard king. You know who I think about from time to time?
Yeah, sir.
The lizard king. That guy Jamie we went to high school with.
Oh, Jamie. Yeah, that guy was fucking cool.
Yeah, he called himself the Lizard King. And he I think, you know, in hindsight was probably dealing with some mental health issues, had some delusions of grandeur. This person really believed that he was the Lizard King. But he's really fun to be around.
He was great. I'm sorry, delusions of grandeur. Like, he was grand. I don't know. He was like 666.
Yeah, he was definitely God among men at Round Rock High School.
He's lived 1,000 lives compared to me. Like he's always posting on Instagram. Like he's at a rave, just like partying his ass off. I don't know. And yeah, I can definitely see how he'd probably be going through some shit, right? Like why do we seek pleasure? Why do we seek, you know? But to hide, to mask the pain, right?
Mm-hmm.
But man, he really is living it up. I think he still is.
I hope so. I think about him. We had a few classes together, and it was always a good time. Super chill, dude.
Oh, I don't want to be in gumbo forever.
Yeah, Big Gumbo really takes it out of a man. Would you say you work for Big Gumbo?
I work for Big Cajun.
Big Cajun, nice.
Okay, I have a query.
Okay. I mean, you are a query.
So you know the Gandhi thing? yeah, thanks. You know the...
Yeah, you're welcome.
You know the Gandhi thing where he was... he had his niece sleep in his bed and he tried to abstain from like being horny?
I don't think I have heard this.
Okay, we're gonna read about this a little bit, because this is good shit. This is good shit.
Is it part of our beat, though? Are we straying too far off course here?
Well, it's part of the gooning beat.
Oh.
Okay, well, no, it's goon in goon news today.
Yeah, Ben asked me, you know, do you want to be a part of this podcast we're gonna talk about? Cities and transportation and infrastructure and public policy. And here we are talking about Gandhi's penis.
We do those things. We keep things light. Mahatma Gandhi's sex test was an... Okay, this is AI. I shouldn't read the AI version. I should probably read the real history.
Yeah, we got to be careful of that.
Yeah, because it's just wrong.
Well, and eventually, like, it's the AI systems are going to create a history that is, I mean, I'm not going to go there. We talked enough conspiracy last week. I mean, I know quite a bit about the recent Dalai Lama.
okay, here we go. Among the many women subjects with whom Gandhi conducted his experiments in in celibacy tests. These tests, which Gandhi claims were his moral duty, involved him sleeping naked next to nubile, naked women without touching them. This was an exercise to ascertain if he and his organ would be sexually aroused. And I just brought this up at work the other day, saying, like, is this gooning? Was Gandhi the original gooner?
Wow. You know, I think it qualifies.
I don't think so, because he's not getting an erection. The whole test is that he does not get an erection.
It sounds way more like something the gang in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia would do. And, you know, it would turn out that Mac didn't get an erection laying next to a woman because he's gay. But he would use it as proof that, you know, he could stay celibate and, you know, master his chastity. But it's definitely not something that I would expect Gandhi to do.
Gandhi was a gooner. Gandhi was a gooner. That's our tagline. We're just going to say ridiculous stuff until someone issues a fatwa against us.
I know. Your goal is fatwa. That has been stated a few times. Yeah, I mean, there was also the recent, and there's a ton of different opinions on this about the Dalai Lama. Did you heard about that one?
He good?
So he was observed in the context of sort of a public speaking engagement, asking a child to suck on his tongue.
Wow.
And there's some argument that it's part of cultural tradition and that, like, we Westerners just don't understand. But there's also, you know, a lot suspect in the power structures, in how, you know, llamas are named, etc. It's been a while since I sat with this, but it's interesting, you know, religious leaders and important cultural folks that, you know, seem to operate by a different set of rules.
hey, Popey, hey, Choichi, spit in my mouth, will ya?
Right.
No, I mean, that is fucked up. I don't know, why would he say that?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look, I'm just whitey, but I don't know, maybe that does seem a little out there.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one.
Yo, and I'm glad we've brought it onto the pod. I'm sorry for introducing Gandhi's goon. Gandhi's what's the word I'm looking for, Lucas?
Goontroversy?
That's good. I'm gooning in Gandhi's good graces.
I think we certainly were careening to this. We were barreling headfirst.
Yeah, we were always going to get here.
Yeah, sooner or later, it was definitely going to happen.
We were always going to get here, folks. Welcome to the Goon Cave. Bow, bow. We talk about... We're just two white guys who can't resist the urge to be controversial.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
We really should have started doing this like 10 years ago. We'd be rich.
We'd be so rich. But hey, we will be rich.
Well, now, I don't
with
know.
With all that BetterHelp money.
Uh-huh. I'm sure BetterHelp is going to jump on this one.
I'll read a BetterHelp ad. Do some fucking push-ups, you pussy.
Use code Gooner for 10% off your first session.
Use code Goon Army. Or you'll be depressed forever.
Do it. Go get hit by a car, you loser.
Oh my god. It's a good. I mean, does that mean we should talk about some traffic deaths, do some riffs?
I think we should probably move into looking at the map, pulling some deaths here. I think that's probably a good next step, because remember, there's nothing funny about traffic deaths.
Nothing funny at all.
I think I'm going to go to Indianapolis.
Indianapolis has a problem. It's a big city.
It has a certain Indianapolis city. Let's do pedestrian, bike.
That one's not a pun.
And other. No, I know it's bad. West Washington Street. Lots of pedestrian and cycling deaths there. Let's look at this one. I'm looking at a poor soul on West Washington Street, which is pretty much coming directly west from the river in the heart of Indianapolis, but west of the river, past the Indianapolis Zoo. Washington Street gives access to the zoo. And I'm looking at the one that is between South Addison Street and South Bellevue Place. It's near the West Park Christian Church. It was a poor soul who perished on Wednesday, June 13th, 2018. It was a hit.
Is it Wednesday, June 13th?
Yeah, it was a hit and run.
Wow, minivan. But so they know it's a minivan. Maybe they found them.
Driving on wrong side of two-way traffic way.
Nice.
Ooh, there was a parked vehicle that got hit.
Yeah, they found the guy.
A bicyclist, age 22. Yes, drugs involved. Died at the scene. It says that the cyclist was Mexican and white.
Yeah.
Non-motorist prior action in roadway. So it's just cycling down the road.
Yep, that's just using the street. Usually what people are doing.
And a 55-year-old male behind the wheel.
And it's like the cyclist gets drug tested, right? But he was just biking.
Yeah, and they didn't test the driver for alcohol.
If they tested me, it would say that there's drugs in my system, right?
Yeah.
No matter when I get hit or what I'm doing.
Right. But
make it into the police report.
But they didn't test the person who swerved across several lanes of traffic, crossed the center line, murdered a cyclist, didn't test him for alcohol, didn't test him for drugs.
We're riffing, folks. We got bits for days. We got bits.
A reminder to our listeners out there that on Roadway Report crash details, you can always go and add your own comments. You can post obituaries if you know the person that unfortunately perished in the accident. You can add links and articles to relevant, you know, maybe reasons why, maybe environmental factors, you know, why this road is so dangerous, you know. Add these in your community. It'll help improve the site.
Some of these arterials in Indianapolis suck, man.
Yeah, I'm about to use the go to Google Maps function. Thanks for building that. It's super helpful. So Washington Street, where this person swerved across the center line to hit a cyclist, is a four-lane road with a left-hand turn lane or merge lane throughout. So it's a five-lane road. So someone went 30 feet out of their way to kill a cyclist.
I thought it looked like a two-lane road at that point, or like a giant two-lane road, but it was really just one travel lane in each direction.
I'm not seeing that.
Or maybe I'm blind. Let me see.
Because it was between... What were the cross streets again? Oops. It was between Addison and Bellevue. Yeah, no, it's a five lane.
I just thought
road.
That two of the lanes were parking. So you say it's a fiver.
There's still two through lanes of traffic there. So I guess it's a five lane road with parking on one side of the street. No, both sides.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Or no, one side, because that's just a mail truck over there.
So yeah, so that's essentially a seven lane road.
One, two, three, four.
Or the
five,
width.
Six.
The width is something like 70 feet.
Yeah.
Remember that lanes are like a lot wider than cars.
Yeah.
In general, mm-hmm. Except unless you live in Texas, where the cars are wider too.
The lanes also are often wider to compensate.
All right, let's find a good one. Let's find a funny one. What's the deal? Whoa, where are the jokes? Where are the riffs? We gotta find a funny one.
This segment is called There's Nothing Funny About Traffic Deaths.
There's nothing funny about any of this. What the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, what could be done here? I mean, what is the best mitigating strategy on this road here on Washington Street? Because people are dying on it. Pedestrians and cyclists particularly are dying on it pretty frequently. So what can Indianapolis do?
Give that bitch a diet. No, I mean, sincerely.
Yep.
Like, just take a lane away on each side.
And I think that this is a...
That's it.
And I think...
That's all. That's the only real solution, too.
Mm-hmm. And so just giving space back from the sidewalk. I think people often think that space should be taken from between the sidewalk and the built in the structures between the sidewalk. And, you know, that could be good where there's large parking lots. But you're right. We have to take space from the street. It's the only way.
Right. It's where the space is. It's all the space. 100% of space is for cars, right? And like every fucking little city street is two lanes of parking and then like one lane of cars that people share in both directions. Like that's a neighborhood street. And then everything else is more space for cars. Like at minimum, even the safest pedestrian and cyclist streets are the ones that have 100% of their space dedicated to cars. We're just so deep in this shit. People who like bitch about parking, it's like 100% of the city is parking. And I mean, this is true. This is not true if you live in New York, right? But nothing you say about America is true if you live in New York. Like, they're just like two different worlds. It's a little anomaly.
Mm-hmm. So is our task futile? Like, is it just going to take the collapse of civilization as we know it and resources to be unavailable to power all of these motor vehicles before we change?
No, I mean, I don't know. It's true that we've invested a lot. We've invested a lot in, like, harm reduction solutions, right? But as long as we keep sprawling, the problem will get worse. It's sort of unavoidable, right? If we just keep adding vehicle miles, there's no way to prevent this.
So the solution includes dense urban buildup?
The solution is reducing vehicle miles. Whatever we can do that serves that end, whether it be bike lanes, making it safer to cross the street, transit miles, transit service, transit infrastructure, the cheap, the most cost-effective way is pretty much bike lanes, especially in today's day and age with the way our urban environments look and the remarkable capital costs of the transit planning process.
Mm-hmm.
TxDOT accidentally, like, changed East Austin by building the South Walnut Creek Trail, like, they didn't mean to make something that was like world class and actually improved the accessibility of like tens of thousands of people. Because they're like, oh, it's just this little like $5 million fucking sidewalk write off, and now you can bike to Manor.
Yeah, who knew that people would?
Right, it's only 13 miles, which sounds far, but turns out it's a great distance.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at Indianapolis, which is just sprawl. They invented sprawl. Like, there's places that, I mean, there must be places that are going to, if I'm here and I want to bike to downtown Indianapolis, yeah, it's only 12 miles. It's only 12 miles.
But it's never the distance. It's never, ever, ever the distance. It's always the safety. It's always the urban environment. Like, the limiting factor, even for the most skilled cyclist, is the fucking danger of the built environment.
Yeah, especially for the most skilled cyclist. A poor cyclist might fall off their bike of their own accord.
Well, no, it's like, well, it's like, okay, if even the most athletic people who are enhanced by technology to navigate urban space, right? Like, then how would someone in a fucking with a walker feel trying to get to the market, right? Like, it's dangerous for everybody. And it's like, I'm able to get around in a safe enough way, right? A way where I tolerate it on a daily basis. But I know that one day I won't be able to, if the environment stays the way that it is. I'll have no independent mobility if I were to become disabled.
You'd have much less mobility.
Well, it'd be so much worse, right? I'd be on the fucking bus. I'd have to buy a car. I'd have to start spending thousands of dollars a year instead of on my, like, you know. That money comes out of the budget, you know. The budget.
Sure. So as you know, things change and develop, are we ever going to see, I mean, because the last 50 years we've seen, you know, an increase in suburban development and therefore an increase in population in suburbs. I think the majority of the country lives in suburbs, like what would be described as suburbs. Like, are we going to see a reverse of that?
No, I mean, lest capitalism collapses, right? It's like all of these system problems stem from, you know, from a set of perverse incentives, right? Like, until you can't get rich destroying the world and you know, then people will do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a super cogent point. And it's, you know, all based on originally the concept of private individual real estate that has now been cannibalized by a corporatism within land speculation and a return to fewer people holding control over the land. You know, we're like, capitalism is careening towards feudalism.
Or this country rocks.
But it's all based on the theft and the exploitation of the land as a resource in itself.
We took it and now we're only upset because there's not enough for everybody.
When there literally is. Which is why it's even more important that we give land back. Land back. Land back.
America's history classes are like, they're a crime against humanity, man. People grew up in this country with no idea of, like, how we got here.
Yeah, I would go as far to say that it's not even a sanitized history, because I feel like a lot of people agree with that point, that, like, yeah, I mean, it's sanitized, but, you know, I mean, we can't tell kids all of the bad things, but no, it's demonstrably false.
And here we are in the future talking about boy pussy over the internet.
It's a
good time to be alive, man. It really is.
Cheeseburgers are very close at hand.
Yeah, we have a cheeseburger-based economy where you eat enough cheeseburgers and eventually you need to see the doctor.
Which you can't.
Our two biggest industries.
Cheeseburgers and doctors.
And drunk driving. How do you feel about the mothers against drunk driving people?
I mean, I really feel for them. I don't think, you know, there's nothing funny about traffic deaths. And I feel for them. I mean, if my child or someone that I loved was killed by a drunk driver, I could definitely understand organizing against that behavior.
Drunk driving, I don't think, is that, like, it's like 30% of the fatality. So it's a significant enough portion to where if you eliminated the problem entirely, it would save a fucking ton of lives.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, I support them in principle. I don't really know anything about their organization. Like, do they not support saving, like, gay people from drunk driving? That feels like something they would do.
No, I don't know. I think the big issue, right, is that the organizations, it's all part of the bullshit industrial complex in that, like, if you want to run a nonprofit, you have to say what powerful people want, right? Like, if you want to participate in public life and get donations mm-hmm. and like the whole thing, then you can't call people out on their bullshit or like point the finger at the systems that have engineered drunk driving into our society, because our society is full of alcoholics, mm-hmm. our society is full of addicts, and they have to go to work, they have to go to the store, we all have to do the same things, right? We are all subject to the same things under mm-hmm. capitalism. It doesn't matter if you have a disability, it doesn't matter if you're an addict, it doesn't matter, it's whatever, right? Everyone has to have a fucking job or else you get thrown out on the fucking street. So we're all subject to these mm-hmm. to the whims, and so people are,
and so when someone has 150 horses of power at their disposal, they become a threat to everyone else in the society. It is not necessarily, obviously it's the combination of being drunk and driving the massive death machine that is resulting in the deaths, but the real dangerous element here is not the human being, is not the addict, is not the mental illness, it's the vehicle, it is the death machine, it is the thing that actually causes the death. Right. That would be the only way to really resolve the whole.
There will always be drunks. Will always be idiots. There will always be people who are violent, right? But when they, when their, the means of transportation to work is a weapon, it's like, it's just, we live in the dumbest society, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, and I mean, we saw recently a couple of automobile related, pieces in the news the last couple weeks. I mean, what happened in New Orleans, that person took a motor vehicle and used it to murder a bunch of people. Yeah. And we're talking, you know, the media is throwing up all of these things like, oh, there was an ISIS flag on the car. Oh, he was an extremist, blah, 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 blah. And all that might be true. But like the speculation for me that feels most cogent is like, wait, why do we let people into that part of town with motor vehicles at all if there's this incredible opportunity for violence and death? Like, we could solve the problem without addressing any of the ideological or, you know, human-based. It's just a simple engineering problem.
Okay, I mean, I do think that this is something I was thinking about the other day, and this is, like, deeply tragic. But it's like in the way that we've seen the like the logical conclusion of mass shooting events, right? Like we've seen at this point like the maximum amount of damage that someone can do with like a bunch of guns. But I don't think in the same way that we've like gone down that rabbit hole as a society we have done with vehicular violence. But I do think we'll see that in our lifetimes. It's like more GTA-esque events than shooting
mm-hmm.
events. I mean it's super super awful to think about, but
it's like a Las Vegas music festival shooting level version of
exactly that's exactly
vehicular violence
of. Right, well there was Killdozer and that was a tank more like mm-hmm. a bulldozer, yeah, and Killdozer had no fatalities despite the name.
Killdozer failed. Injury Dozer does not have the same ring to it.
If you at home, the Gooner, want to get in touch with us, you can write to me at Ben at Roadway Report. That's roadway.report. That's my email. You can find Lucas at
Blurbanist. You can also write me at blurbanist@gmail.com if that's more your speed. I'm also publishing under Lucas's Little Library on Substack. We'll have some interesting new posts here in the next week or so. That's a little bit less urbanism related content. I'll probably cross post it to Blurbanist. So follow me there. If you want to give us money, do it. We would really appreciate it as we continue to build the army.
Blussy.
Sure.
Keep that blussy tight, folks.
Alrighty. I'm going to sign off here. Ta-ta for now.
Okay, you can't get away that easy. You thought you were done podcasting.
What else you got?
No, I mean, no, not much. Not much. I love you. I have a good week. We got to keep this
I love
up.
You too. You too. Yep, don't work too hard. We'll keep working. We should definitely find a guest.
Yeah. What's our shtick? We don't have a theme song. We don't have a sign off. We don't have guests. we only talk about boy pussy.
I can work on a sign off, some sign off options if you want to work on a little jingle. Next week we're coming at you with some new production quality.
maybe we can do an acapella.
City sidewalks, shitty sidewalks. All right, I'm signing off. Goodbye.
Okay, love you, man. Take care.